You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Keeping the Long War Journal, joins me as my co-host. We're very pleased to welcome our colleague David Daoud of the FDD to take us first to Lebanon. David, the last we spoke, there was suggestion that Hezbollah was offering to either disarm or stand down from its war posture since the October attack of 2 years ago. However, now there are remarks that suggest that that might have been rhetoric. I'm not sure. Where is that report? Is it now old news? Good evening to you, David.
Good evening, John. It's always a pleasure. Well, the reports, the simple explanation is that the reports that Hezbollah was willing to disarm or stand down were inaccurate. There was talk going back months now. If we want to go back years, a little bit of a historical lesson. Hezbollah, since 2006, February of 2006, entered a memorandum of understanding with the Free Patriotic Movement. This was the movement that was led by former man who would later become president of Lebanon, Michel Aoun, largest Christian, Maronite Christian party at the time, largest Christian party at the time. And one of the planks of this memorandum of understanding was that Lebanon would set a national defense strategy. And Hezbollah has been pushing for this for years because Hezbollah envisioned leveraging its both its military power in Lebanon and its social clout in Lebanon to integrate itself into the state the way perhaps the PMF has done in Iraq with the 2016 PMF law. They would be able to maintain its cohesion either as a separate unit within the LAF or an auxiliary of the LAF, the Lebanese Armed Forces. Now, they never said this explicitly, but that seems like the route that they were going from all, you know, it's kind of what you can piece together from all the statements. Now, what they've been saying for months now is that if Israel withdraws from Lebanon, ends its attacks in Lebanon, what they call Israel fulfilling its end of the bargain of the ceasefire, then Hezbollah will enter into discussions on this national defense strategy. Not that it will disarm. They've actually said this explicitly. If you go back to, I think it was March 9th, Nadine Qassem, the current secretary general of Hezbollah, he was asked, it was a long form interview with Al-Manar, Hezbollah's TV station. What does this mean when President Joseph Aoun, the current, no relation to Michel Aoun, talks about monopolizing the use of force in the hands of the state? He says this applies to domestic matters, right? Policing and so on and so forth. This has nothing to do with resistance. We're resistance, right? This is an old distinction that, the Hezbollah and the Lebanese state have relied upon. The Taif agreement required the disarmament of all militias. A very clever interpretation was, well, no, Hezbollah is a resistance, not a militia, so it doesn't need to disarm. 2006, Resolution 1701 says all armed groups need to disarm. Hezbollah is a resistance. It's not an armed group, it therefore doesn't need to disarm. So Hezbollah is trying to play that game again. They haven't, and consistently their leadership, not just Naim Qassem, Ghaleb Abu Zainab, who is a Politburo member, Hassan Fadlallah, who is a member of parliament, Wafiq Safa, who's their head security official, they've all, Mahmoud Kamate, another head of the Politburo member, they've all come out and said monopolizing force in the hands of the state does not mean Hezbollah will disarm, and neither does the defense strategy. Now, President Joseph Aoun has said in an interview to The New Arab, it's a Qatar-based publication, that his vision for this discussion, he's engaging in bilateral discussions, wants to escape early stages of bilateral discussions with Hezbollah regarding their arms. He doesn't want to disarm by force because, you know, he understands that could lead to civil unrest, which he wants to avoid. He said he doesn't want this bilateral discussion to lead to a PMF-style situation in Lebanon, or where Hezbollah would be integrated into the LAF as a cohesive force, though he said that, you know, Hezbollah's members could be integrated into the LAF. Hezbollah has responded and said, that's nice, but that's the president's view, and that's open to modification through our bilateral dialogue with the president. Now, to kind of settle the matter conclusively on what Hezbollah means by national defense strategy, monopolization on force, discussing their arms as part of the national defense strategy, Secretary General Naim Qassem gave a speech, I want to say Friday, in which he laid out explicitly what the party's vision is. I wrote an analysis on this for Long War Journal for those who are interested. And he said, this does not mean we're going to disarm. This means we're going to talk once Israel withdraws, once reconstruction, post-war reconstruction begins, then we will sit down and have a discussion on what is the best in the best interest of Lebanon and how the resistance's weapons, as you put it, implying that they will remain in Hezbollah's hands, will be used for Lebanon's best interest, to strengthen Lebanon, as he put it. So Hezbollah has never said that they're going to disarm. You have some people who took some headlines or some statements that either they deliberately or inadvertently misunderstood and pushed them, because some people have an interest in telling you now that Lebanon is changing, that everything is changing. And look, while President Aoun's intentions may be pure, I can't speak to that. He's hitting up against the wall of reality that every Lebanese leader prior to him did, which is that Hezbollah remains a powerful military force vis-a-vis Lebanon, vis-a-vis the Lebanese, and it retains massive social clout. So you can't just tell them you are going to disarm by fiat. You have to ask them nicely. And obviously they're giving their response that we're not going to go along with this idea of disarmament.
Bill, you have a question for David, given that my head is spinning about the Lebanese.
Well, it should be done, right? And a group that possesses massive amounts of arms is an armed group somehow, I guess, only in Lebanon, or maybe only in the Middle East.
Sure.
David, so if Hezbollah is integrated within the Lebanese security establishment, would the U.S. legally still be able to donate money to fund, or would provide funding to the Lebanese armed forces? I mean, it currently is doing so in Iraq with the Shia militias, some that are listed as terrorist organizations. I mean, how does the U.S. get around the law to justify this?
Well, I guess it depends on how they're incorporated, if that happens. So I could see a situation where, you know, let's say President Aoun's vision wins out and Hezbollah is not integrated as a cohesive unit or cohesive force into the LAF, but as individual commanders and soldiers and so on. Imagine the disaster that's going to be, right? These people are not going to abandon their ideology once they put on the uniform of the Lebanese armed forces. Instead, you're going to have them within the ranks, manning checkpoints, rising up the ranks of the LAF. Now, the commander of the LAF always has to be a Maronite by convention, but you could still have lower level officers, perhaps generals, who are former Hezbollah fighters. If the, you know, the president's vision gets implemented, if his way wins out. Now, if Hezbollah's way wins out, I guess it depends. If, you know, with the PMF, I guess we have not. So we've sanctioned individual components of the PMF as FTOs. We haven't sanctioned them all.
That's correct.
And I think it's AAH that we have not sanctioned, but the KHA that we have sanctioned, for example. But the PMF as a body, as an umbrella organization, we have not. So if something like that is done in Lebanon, where maybe the Hezbollah acts as an auxiliary force to the LAF, which, by the way, Lebanese law so far has done that in a very subtle way. Up until this cabinet's policy statement, every cabinet since 1989 or 1990 has included a plank legitimizing the so-called resistance, right? So this, I mean, if we're talking from a legal standpoint, this makes Hezbollah, whether Lebanon wants to play this game of, you know, they're not a part of the state or not, it makes it by law an organ of the state. I mean, this is, again, don't ask David Daoud, ask international law on this. So So, but we still give aid to the LAF. We're willing to play along with this charade that if we strengthen the LAF, we'll weaken Hezbollah. We've been doing this for 20 years. It's not panned out. Could those interests that we believe we have in Lebanon continue to push us to maintain such fictions? I don't know. I would hope not. It seems like the statements from the Trump administration, at least Morgan Ortega's, is saying, you know, look, Lebanon, we want to be your friends. You have a choice. You either get rid of Hezbollah or you can have a relationship with the United States. You can't have both. Now, she doesn't, you know, the buck doesn't stop with her, unfortunately, as great as a position that is. And, every administration's term is finite. What happens in the next administration? So I think it really depends on how Lebanon structures this, if it goes the way that Hezbollah wants it to. And it depends on what we perceive to be our interests in Lebanon and whether we're willing to kind of turn a blind eye or maybe even play the game that the French do, you know, the military wing is separate from the political wing and so on and so forth. It's hard to tell. But it should pose a problem already. It would pose a bigger problem moving forward if somehow Hezbollah is officially not just as a vague resistance, but officially as an organization integrated somehow into the infrastructure of the Lebanese state or Lebanese security apparatus.
Within these last hours, you've reported on the targeting of Hossein Ali Nasser, the deputy commander of Hezbollah Unit 4400. What is that, and what is the significance of targeting him?
Well, Unit 4400 is the Hezbollah unit or Hezbollah body responsible for importation of weapons for Hezbollah. So Israel had targeted the commander, former commander, during the war. I think it was like October of 2024. And then days later, killed his deputy commander in Damascus, in Meza neighborhood of Damascus. So Nasser would be the replacement of the deputy commander that was killed back in October. This suggests that Hezbollah's efforts to rearm, to regenerate, predictably, obviously, are ongoing. This ties with reports recently of things in J-Post and in Al-Arabiya, where an unnamed Western security source said Hezbollah is trying to rearm through Beirut port, given tightened security measures at Beirut airport. Now, the report on the IDF statement on Nasser's killing said that he was trying to help Hezbollah rearm through Beirut airport, through a ring of airport employees that were sympathetic to Hezbollah or on Hezbollah's payroll. Basically, he was running a ring of people that would help Hezbollah import arms and turn a blind eye to inspections. Now, there was a report in the Shark al-Awsat in early April that said that 30 airport employees, or I guess kind of contractors, had lost their licenses to operate in the airport for connections to Hezbollah. The Lebanese Public Works Ministry denied this, but L'Orient Le Jour, a Lebanese publication that leans anti-Hezbollah, claimed, based on, again, unnamed sources or sources that spoke on the condition of anonymity, rather, that these firings had happened, but it wasn't just specific to these people that were affiliated with Hezbollah. A lot of firings had happened. So it's unclear who's telling the truth, but the language of the IDF statement suggests that Nasser was continuing his activities after the November 27, 2024 ceasefire. He was continuing to help Hezbollah rearm. And it seems like he was killed for this very fact, that he was continuing to help Hezbollah rearm despite whatever measures that the Lebanese alleged to have taken at Beirut airport to tighten the screws on Hezbollah's ability to either import cash or weapons through the airport. If this guy, if Hezbollah weren't still using the airport to import arms, there's no reason to appoint this guy to put him on this task. So the fact that a replacement was appointed, the fact that he was killed in the line of his activities, according to the IDF statement, suggests that this regeneration effort, including through Beirut airport, seems is ongoing, and that should not be surprising.
We're speaking with David Daoud of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, watching Lebanon because it's a major, major theater that can be turned on or off any moment, to do with its sponsor, Iran. Bill Raggio, a senior fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, my co-host. When we come back, where is Iran in this tangle of whether Lebanon is a threat or a future threat?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.